Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610 live from the Houston Methodist Training Center for Training Camp 2025, day two. Going out here. John Lopez, how you living, bro?
Man, I'm living good. We got another beautiful day out here, and not as hot. Got a nice little breeze working. They were active early, right at 9 o'clock. So it was it can't get better. We got the fans blowing on us. This is a great day. Got the shade. Can't ask for more, man.
How quickly before people get sick of us just talking about weather and conditions?
Oh, they care about us. They care about
this. No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
No, they don't. Yeah. I will say, though, I did learn something as I think this is a new – not I think. This is a new experience for me being out here at training camp, so I'm trying to take everyone along with it as much as you actually care about hearing it. Let me know, 713-572-4610, which is the number to text, or the MoCarum Injury Lawyer live streams.
You've got to keep a very delicate balance when you're out here. And I'm not just talking about us, fans too.
Yeah.
Because it's very easy to get caught up in conversations and then you miss something good on the field.
Very true.
You know what I mean? So I was chatting with someone, who was it? I forget. And all of a sudden, hey, did you see that? I said, no. I did not see that. What happened? So
that's the beauty of standing next to everybody. Is that if you miss something, you can get filled in pretty quickly. Yeah. I did realize, as you might be able to see on the MoCarum Injury Lawyer live streams, both on the YouTube page, Sports Radio 610, or the Twitch chat, 610 Houston, that I am not wearing a hat. I've decided to go like no hat. I don't typically, I'm not a huge hat guy generally, and I'm like, it's been nice enough, knock on wood, to this point where the hat for me has not been a necessity. However, the secondary use of a hat, I think, has come up for me, which is sweat prevention.
Yeah, that's the main thing.
I've been getting sweat in my eyes, and that's how I'm missing some of these things some of this time. It's just that sweat that just kind of drizzles from the top of your forehead down into your eyes. That's been getting me every once in a while.
But so, you can rock the bucket hat pretty good.
I think I can, but yeah. I feel like you got to get the big one. Like the kind of fashion buckets that don't really have the big brim don't seem to be very useful. But with that being said, let's get going on another day of training camp. And another day would means another opportunity for some observations. You want to get into some passing thoughts?
Let's do it, Figgy. Let's do it. All right, let's give our listeners what we're seeing so far. By the way, they're still on the field. We are going 11 on 11 right now, so some of these passing thoughts may be, updated as we're speaking right here. But let's start with the who's here, who's not. That's always of note. And I have a question for you, Reggie and Figgy. Are we all of a sudden on Christian Harris watch every day?
What do you mean, all of a sudden?
Well, that's true. That's true. But we all – well, I don't know about you guys, but I thought he would be back and going. But day two, Christian Harris – watching from the side, not on the PUP list, not on the what's the other list called?
The non-football
injury list.
Well, we knew it wasn't a non-football injury.
Yeah. So, Christian Harris, I guess we can call it the Christian Harris watch now. It's happening.
Certainly. And today it was a street closed.
Mm-hmm.
Christian
Harris just watching from the side.
Just watching from the sideline. Yeah. This is really dicey, and it makes sense as to why Nick Caserio seemingly had an outlook that would point to the idea of if and when he can get there, that's cool. But otherwise, we are operating as such in such a way. And of course, these are my words, not his, but seeming the impression that I got from him that they're gonna feel comfortable with the idea of Azeez Al-Shaair, who we'll talk to a little bit later.
Yeah.
And then Henry Toto'o and EJ Speed, and I imagine Nick Neiman. I feel like those are guys that they feel comfortable with as a linebacking core going into the season.
Yeah, and I'm starting to worry. I mean, just me, my words, like you said. That it's just something that's just going to continue to linger. But anyway, another passing thought for you guys here. I'm really intrigued. We talked yesterday about how the first team is taking more reps than in recent years, and it probably is an indicator of just what they're doing in terms of installing the offense, et cetera. Today, I don't know if you noticed this, but the first solid 8 to 10 minutes, the quarterback specifically, CJ Stroud, were working on progressions. You know, they were doing their dropbacks and not even really looking at to throw the ball. They were just kind of going, okay, this is what you do here, this is what I want to do. But the interesting thing about that, the key thing about that, as much as that's coached, that's not brought from the sideline. You know, that's the quarterbacks making those progressions, which is obviously feeding into having more control of the offense, which, by the way, we'll hear CJ Stroud talking about that as well today.
And that's the first offensive period that you're talking about.
Yeah.
The first offensive walkthrough, not the install period. But I think what that points to is everything's the install period at this point for the Texans. It makes sense offensively. You're bringing in Nick Caley, and it's very different than last year where there is a familiarity. The offense is already in. Now you're trying to make strides. You're kind of trying to make changes. This is an entirely new offense, and at that, an offense that seems like there's a big buffet of options that they want to choose from and maybe whittle it down later. So it would make sense that they're going to go hard really about that early, making sure that they can see all the things that maybe work for them, that don't work for them, and as long as you're doing them and executing them to the highest of your ability, you can give yourself an idea of what you want to do.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Offensive line update. Again, this is something we'll be talking about all week long, all season, preseason long. Blake Fisher, all of a sudden, a right tackle today. They're keeping us guessing a little bit. Not a lot. It was more of a rotation. Heck, Blake Thomas got some reps with the first
Zach group. Thomas, that is.
Zach Thomas,
yes,
my bad.
Sir.
Zach Thomas got some reps with the first group as well. But it is interesting to note that when Blake Fisher was at right tackle, Ursary was at left tackle.
Correct. So that first group that came out in the walkthrough, as we're tracking this and still not knowing exactly how much weight to place behind it, Ariante Ursary at left tackle, Lakin Tomlinson again at left guard, Jake Andrews as the first guy at center this time around, Titus again at right guard, and then, as you mentioned, Blake Fisher at right tackle to start.
So we'll keep an update on that. But Ursary getting some reps with the left tackle as well. A little bit of a side note here, but it is interesting because I honestly do not know how C.J. Stroud keeps up with all the different handshakes he does with, with players. Today, I noticed him do two specific, and they're all unique. They're all different. I saw him do two with coaches. So now he's adding coaches to his repertoire. I mean, so on top of learning the entire offense and the checks and the reads and the blocking assignments, he's got, what, 12 different handshakes? 10, 12? And now he's adding coaches to it? I guess, I mean, that's what he does.
Yeah, that's a responsibility.
I don't know how he does it.
That's a responsibility of being the big man on top, right? Like, when you're the quarterback, you foster those relationships. I much prefer these things as signs of the relationships that he has, even with the coaching staff, and you know, that hopefully that fosters open and honest lines of communication, as opposed to, you know, the alternative, which is a guy who just kind of takes what it's had and operates it almost like what you would say stereotypically a 9-to-5 is. Come in, do your work, leave. It feels like there's a level of investment, obviously, that he has, but just all the way around with this team, I think, has been very intriguing.
Yeah. Another interesting note that I picked up on in a later drill so far. Again, they're going on 11-on-11. I think we just had our first turnover of training camp, but I couldn't tell if it was a fumble or an interception because it's two fields away from us. I will get that information for you. But big tell on the offensive line today. On the O-line drills, it was very determined, very deliberate. The coaches were telling them who to block. Like, they had the scout team out there, and they were counting out and telling them who to block, not what area to block. And that to me was like, okay, it is, you know, they talked about multiple sets, and they're going to try bring some things in from the Rams on this offense and the Patriots from this offense. But this run game, Reggie, this run game is going to be good old-fashioned. I got that guy, you got that guy.
Yeah, I mean, and like I mentioned, and if it tracked again today when you talk about walkthrough, a lot of kind of duo-type situations, as you mentioned, gap scheme-type situations. I think that really and truly the run has been emphasized. That was evidenced by yesterday during, like, more of the 11-on-11. There was a lot of run game featured as opposed to, like, I mean, they barely passed until late in practice, and it tracks. Mm-hmm. Nick Haley is more of a run-focused guy. Not saying that that's the entirety of what he is, but he's more of that. And I think if you're getting to an abstract place where, and of course this is not a true hypothetical that you have to live with, or, you know, ultimatum of sorts.
Right.
But if you had to take one between having a robust passing game to start or having a robust running game to start, I think in football, you want to be able to run the football. If you can run the football consistently, you don't necessarily have to throw. Now, of course, again, this is a false dichotomy. Mm-hmm. I want you to be able to eventually throw the football at a high rate as well. But I think that is the place that is right to start. To put the foundation, because this team in particular, but football teams in general, need to be able to tote the rock.
Yes, absolutely. And as we're speaking, I said we'd be giving some updates on this 11-11. Blake Fisher started with the first group again at right tackle, and there was a nice little run by Nick Chubb, but it was negated by a false start by Blake Fisher. We don't need that, big fella. I know that's what training camp is for, but Blake Fisher had a false start.
Hey, Fig.
Figgy's in the house. So, yeah, you know, and the thing is with that, two things. Nick Chubb, you know, obviously I still think he looks pretty dang good. We'll find out. It's a long preseason. But Blake Fisher, the margin for error for him is almost zero, you know?
I mean, it's going to be tough. Man, we know that that's the whole idea of this camp is you come out with the level of competition. A lot of different dudes getting out here that are trying to earn that spot. And one of those guys hasn't even gotten a chance to get out here. Mm-hmm. We were actually chatting a little bit earlier about Trent Brown, who was, you know, he's still not out there actually working just yet. But that's another guy that once he gets out there, that is a viable option. And especially he is a professional. You know that he does his job. As he is intended to do it, which is going to be another person that pushes him. So he's going to need to make sure that he works that out of his system very quickly, especially because with this team, the fall starts hit a little bit harder with the previous season. Yeah, magnified after last year.
Back to C.J. Stroud, a couple things that we've noticed out here, passing thoughts, if you will. Correct me if I'm wrong. You know, I was watching every snap just like you were. I did not see the ball hit the ground once, not once. That's that Stroud accuracy. It's the ability to be in tune with his wide receivers. Some of them were not with defenders, but nevertheless, the ball came out. The ball hit him in the hands. His accuracy seems to be on point.
Yeah, I mean CJ all looks. I mean, sometimes I could say this as a pejorative, so I want to be careful. He looks the part right now. Mm-hmm. He's looking like what you want CJ to look like very early. So I'm cool.
Yesterday you mentioned John Mechie. As like kind of,
I'm just going to. Can I mea culpa? Can I go ahead and PSA? Don't do as I say or as I do in this moment because I'm falling for the Mechie thing again. Yes. I'm watching individuals earlier, and yeah, I'm like,
that's where I was going.
Okay,
the little out and up. I mean, the little up and out.
Yeah,
yeah. He looked sharp on that.
Yeah,
ball was right there. Did it, and so I'm not saying I'm falling for it, but I could see where you're coming from because Mechie is the big tease. Here's another one, though.
But before you move forward, one of the things that is worth noting, especially through yesterday's practice into today's, Justin Watson is obviously that wide receiver, veteran wide receiver. D'Amico Ryan spoke pretty highly of him early on in the offseason once they had gotten him signed up. He is on the first team of the special teams right now. Now, of course, again, it's training camp. Things move up and down. But it stands to reason that he will not be usurped in that because he is a heady guy who, you know, he works hard. He applies himself very well. And if you are a special teamer, that is a great way to make a roster. And as we are starting to preliminarily look at the wide receiver room, is that one of the spots that gets taken? And as you start doing the math there, Nico Collins and Christian Kirk are absolutes, right?
Yeah.
Jaden Higgins, absolute. Jalen Noel, probably going to be there. That's four. If you add a Justin Watson, are you pretty much running up the group then?
Yeah.
Before we even get to the idea of me falling for the Mechie or Xavier Hutchinson, who they obviously as a team like him just in general. Are you getting to a place where those guys are really squeezed before we even get going really deep in training camp?
I don't think you're wrong. You mentioned Jalen Noel. You tell me because I drafted him. Jalen Noel just had, about 5 minutes ago, a beautiful, probably 45, 50-yard catch from C.J. Stroud. No, excuse me, from Davis Mills. Would have been a touchdown. It was defended. You know, this was 11 on 11, so he created some separation. He made a great grab and scored. I'm not going to give myself a pet cat point, but let's see what people say about him after practice. Practice is still going on right now doing special teams punt right now, but Jalen Noel, he's got a little juice. I know that's a trite cliche word, but he does seem to have something going on.
It's a trite cliche time of year. Come on, ladies and gentlemen, y'all gonna have to give us a little bit of leeway there. But no, I think you're right. He does have some juice. I mean, that's kind of the type of player that you imagine him to be, a juice bringer of sorts. The interesting thing for me with Noel is not even him as a wide receiver. I think that's going to be one of those things that is more supplementary going forward, or at least in this rookie season of his. The idea of him as a potential returner is, I think, where his primary value is to this team early. And I was, you know, talking to some folks about special teams yesterday, and I know that he kind of dropped one.
Yeah.
And Braxton Berrios, who obviously is a consummate return man, smooth return of punts. I know that John Harris and his Harris hits, which obviously is always a necessity this time of year, was mentioning that Berrios looks really, really good when it comes to returning, which, again, that is one of the primary values that he has. I'm wondering if Noel can be a type of returner that is automatic. I think that might be interesting on whether Berrios makes it. But if he's not automatic, I don't think that you can go in into a season and think, we're going to let him figure this out, because I don't know that you want another Steven Sims season, which, again, all due respect to Steven Sims, but then once you got to some places where it got a little dicey and now you have to bring Robert Woods in and have Damian Pierce return stuff and at times bring Tank up to return punts, I think they much prefer going into a season knowing that they have a guy that can handle all of it, and that might be the opening for Braxton Berrios to make a roster out of it.
Yeah. All right, here we go. Ones versus ones. I think this is the first time we've seen that going on field two right now. I'll keep you up to date as we get information on this. This is an interesting one. I'm wondering what you and Figgy are thinking about this. I haven't seen this in recent years. I'm sure it's happened before, but I haven't seen this in recent years. Did you notice we have three numbers battles going on simultaneously? Three numbers battles. They very rarely have duplicate numbers in the NFL. But number 22 on offense is Jawar Jordan. Number 22 on defense, Arthur Maulette.
Okay.
Who wins that number battle? How does that play out? Somebody's going to have to change, because if they both make the squad.
I hate to be a hater just to start here. First and foremost, I appreciate that look that came over from our engineer. I don't mean to snitch on you, but sorry that happened. Mm-hmm. Jawar Jordan, that feels like the most uphill of uphill battles that I've ever seen. Like, with all due respect to him, that feels like, hey, buddy, we're working for practice squad. Again, I say that with as much respect as I can muster.
Yeah.
I don't know if Arthur Maulette ultimately makes it, but I think he ends up being interesting as an insurance policy for Jimmy Ward, because Jimmy Ward is the immediate stand-in for the Petrie kind of role. Outside of that, do you have a stand-in for the Petrie role outside of, like, Arthur Maulette, who's played a lot of slot or whatever? I think that might be – he has more value of those two, I think. And, again, I don't think that there's any guarantee that either of them particularly make the roster.
A little bit of an update here. We're going to talk to Aziz about this. He's going to be joining us right off the field. They're putting some pressure. They're putting some pressure on C.J. Stroud in the 11-on-11, but that's to be expected. Number 27 offense, Woody Marks. Number 27 defense, Miles Bryant. Now, that's a battle.
That one is interesting.
Now, that's a battle.
Woody Marks, we know what that situation is with running back. He's really in there, but I imagine that he has a leg up being a relatively moderate to high kind of draft pick.
Mm-hmm.
Miles Bryant is interesting because, again,
he's on the squad.
He's a depth secondary player, but there's a lot of guys in that room that can make some shakes. So I don't know. We'll see what that looks like.
Oh, Lord. Looks like it's a good defense day. Just had a turnover as well. We'll keep you updated on that. 72 offense, Jalen Thomas. 72 defense, Tommy Togiai.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I think I'm going to go with Togiai as a depth defensive tackle, who honestly, when he stepped in, he was serviceable last year. He was very serviceable.
Very serviceable. That might have been C.J. Gardner-Johnson pick. I'll find out on that for sure. A couple of other things here as we're going passing thoughts. The Nick Caley energy is real. I mean, very, very real. I don't know what it means. Sometimes people, feed into that and feed off of that. Sometimes they don't. But he is Mr. Energy.
I mean, I appreciate getting delivered a good bill of goods there that falls in line with what we were promised. So, at the very least, it's fun for us out here, and a positive energy always looks good out here at training camp. Day two of Houston, Texas training camp. Those are some passing thoughts from the early portions of practice here at the Houston Methodist Training Center as Texans training camp rolls on. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, you mentioned hearing from Nico. You mentioned hearing from CJ. Let's hear and break down some of the things that we learned from yesterday's practice. We will do that next on Sports Radio 610.